It's just praising our Lord, and what a great time it is to praise the Lord. So we know a lot of people's traveling, a lot of people's sick, and a lot of people just out. So we just want to be praising the Lord. We have as many we have this morning because we know so many people sick, and a lot of people is traveling. We just want to thank you and praise the name of Jesus Christ this morning on the eve of Thanksgiving week. It's always a lovely time of the year, this Thanksgiving season. I always love this Thanksgiving season, also Christmas season. Time for the family, and it's just a time to get together and have the unity of family and loved ones at home with you. So it's a great time praising the Lord and a great time for families. This morning we'll be dealing with this Thanksgiving, and that'll be on Psalms 133. We'll take the whole psalm, being it ain't 3 verses long. Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3 in Psalms. You know, in the unity of Thanksgiving, the unity of Thanksgiving message this morning, as you know how the Thanksgiving Day come around, and 16 and 20, we know the Mayflower, it landed on Plymouth Rock in 16 and 20 with 102 people aboard that ship. When they landed in that first spring, we know that 44 out of the 102 people died in that first winter before the first spring that was able to plant crops. But the other 58 people went forth to plant a crop, and God gave them a great harvest, and they turned that fall season into a Thanksgiving unity for the Lord Jesus Christ, where they was preaching, they was singing, they was praying. Then afterward, they had the great meal that God furnished them on that first Thanksgiving Day here of the United States we call of America. The unity of Thanksgiving, the unity of Thanksgiving. All around the country now, you see on television where family begin to go home. They have the airways and the highways is very full around our country. They're traveling to go home to be together for a little while. Oh, isn't it so nice whenever families are coming together at Thanksgiving time? It's good any time they come together, but Thanksgiving time, and it seems like Christmas time, it just gives us such a unity in the family when you see your loved ones come through the door, or either you go to your home family and you come and have family reunion. It's such a great time for Thanksgiving. The unity, if you think about it, the unity of Thanksgiving. Without the unity, they would never have had a spring. They'd be able to gather the crops and never had a fall to gather the crops if it wasn't for the unity. They would never have had a Thanksgiving. So you think about the unity that we have in our families as we get together around our country and get to travel and be with our loved ones and our family together this day. The unity of Thanksgiving. And this is something that God desperately desires for his people. How that we have the unity of Thanksgiving in your physical family, and how that God desperately desires for us as children of God to have this desire to be together with one another. Now, Satan fears this. There's several things that Satan fears. We've been preaching on Wednesday night. I hope that you come on Wednesday night. I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to come on Wednesday night. If you can, we've been having good turnouts on Wednesday night. We're on prayer for about 2 months. And, you know, the devil, he fears prayer. But also last Wednesday night, we taught on praise. And the devil also fears praise when God's people praise. But not in all, he also fears unity. The devil fears unity. One in common. He fears unity. Now, we want to thank you now for that we have the unity here this day. Now, one thing that convinced the world that the church has something the world do not have, and that is unity. The world don't have unity. Our country don't have unity. But the world looks at the church and do we have unity? This is one thing that convinced the world that we got something that the lost people don't have. We got something that the world don't have. And whenever we meet together, the name of Jesus Christ, there's a reason for us to be here this morning. And the reason we're here, we have unity in Jesus Christ. This is not just a club. It's not a social club. This is a church. And we're meeting here for that one great cause. And that cause is a unity in Jesus Christ. In the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin, he said, "Gentlemen, now we must all hang together, or assuredly we shall all hang separately." And that is the truth, and it's truth we have this day. Satan's motive is division. Satan's motive is to divide. And listen, it don't just stop in your family. I'm going to tell you, he likes to divide your family. I want to tell you today that we find a lot of people is in divorces this day in our country, in the time that a couple comes together and they say, I do, to one another, Satan, and starts dividing that family. He starts on just as quick as he can, and there's a lot of division in the family, not only in divorces, but a lot of division in the family, and children is coming up. There's just a lot of division in the family we're living today. Well, that's Satan. That's his motive, is to divide the family. But you see, he don't stop with the family. Also, it moves into the church. Now, Satan has a motive, and that is to divide this church. He do not want this church to hang together in unity. He wants this church to be separate. Now, what is the same thing he's done in the family, same thing he's done in a nation, in a church, is the same thing he is doing in our nation right now. I know that our nation went through a civil war, and it was divided at that time. It began to build together as a United States. But since then, the devil has been trying to divide this country, and it's more divided this state and probably than it's ever been before. We got the very verge of going in one direction, either another direction, but our whole country, the United States, is divided now which way do we think we ought to go. Should we go socialism under communism, which we headed that fast with the administration that we have and the policies set forth? We're going that way very, very fast to divide this country. We're going into socialism. We're going into a communist state. We're going in a time that you and I don't know what we have seen in the past, we will not see in the future if we begin to go on the path we're going in now. Our country has been divided because Satan has divided this country. Satan cannot defeat a united family. Satan cannot defeat a united family. Satan cannot defeat a united church. And certainly he cannot defeat a united nation. Because when you say united, every flank is covered, every protection you have all the way around us, and that is in the family, in the church, and in the nation. But if we separate ourselves, it's very easy for Satan to pick us off one at a time. We say the United States of America. No longer can we say the United States of America, because our United States is not united anymore. You just have to look around. It's not united anymore. It's things we should do to bring us back together, and I hope that we do. And we've been praying. I hear a lot of people pray for our nation, for our country. Lord, do something. Well, the Lord's doing something right now, I can assure you. He's judging us from our past sins of this country have this day. And that's one thing that we're divided about now. And we know in the book of Habakkuk that God was going to come against the nation of Israel with a more wicked country to be able to defeat them. The Chaldeans was coming. Habakkuk couldn't understand. God, what are you doing? I prayed for you to help our country because it looked like we're going to go into war and battlefield and we're going to be took over. And he's Habakkuk, I'm doing something. I'm sending a ruthless nation because of your sin. God's judging our country. We must get back to the Word of God. We got to stick together. It's like a man that went out deep sea fishing and he caught a big fish. But it pulled him overboard in the process. Well, the captain, you know what? He didn't get excited. He just reached down and just grabbed the man by the hand, and he couldn't swim. He said, help, help, help. And he reached down and grabbed him by the hand, and he pulled and his arm come off. Well, the man was flouncing around and said, help, help, I can't swim. And the next time the captain reached down and grabbed him by his foot, and he pulled him and his leg come off. He kept flouncing around in the water, and he got him by the head of the hair, and I'd be in bad shape, wouldn't I? He got him by the hair of the head, and he pulled him and his wig come off. Now the captain says, listen, if you don't stick together, ain't no way I can help you. You know, and we laugh about that, it's true, but you know what? If we don't stick together as a family, my family, if we don't stick together as a family, God can't help us. And I'm going to tell you something else. If we don't stick together as a church, God can't help us. And oh Lord, if we don't stick together as a nation, God can't help us. Psalmist 133, verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the beard, upon the head, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garments. And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the Mount of Zion, For there the Lord commandeth the blessings, even life forevermore. Let us pray. Father Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this season. And we know, Father, as we look back past in our years, at how that you was with a little group of people that come over and landed there on Plymouth Rock that we call, Lord, our pilgrimages. And how, Lord, that you had blessed them, even though it didn't look like them as much of a blessing that winter when all those people died. But, Father, we know the unity that banded together, and they come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to this country. And, Father, they was there in unity. And how they stayed in unity, Father, that they built this nation. We live here this day. And, Father, without unity, we could never survive. We can never survive unless we stick together in unity. But, Father, we know that you want to pass this on to our families. Father, you want us united families together, the institution of families in the Garden of Eden. Lord, it was not by man, it was by you that you started families here on the face of this earth. And how we thank you and praise you, Lord, that we might meet in the name of Jesus this Thanksgiving season. Not only this Thanksgiving season, Father, but each day that our family meets together is such a splendid opportunity that we might be able to do this. We know when our family gets older, they go and they begin to do their separate ways. It's hard to get families together again, but we thank you, Lord, that when they do, we have this unity, and we thank you for that in our families. But not only that, Father, we thank you for the unity we have in Christ Jesus. The Father, you established this church, these local churches today, and Father, you established Pleasant Hill. And Father, how we pray that, Lord, we stay in unity. For Lord, we know what the devil likes to do. He likes to divide. We want to thank you, Lord, for the unity, Lord, that you have blessed this church. We're here together this hour in the name of Jesus Christ. But Father, look out upon our nation this day, Father, and we see how our nation is divided, and how people want to take away our heritage away from us, Lord, and change this nation, Father, into a nation, Father, that is not like, Lord, that you intended for it to be. So, Father, I just pray, God, that we might get back to the unity and the thanksgiving of unity, Lord, that we have in our families, our church, and also in our nation this day, that we need, Lord, to look up to you. And, Father, as we get back to the Word of God, we'll see where this unity comes from. It comes from the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, so I just pray for this message, and I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit of God would just unite us in unity just this time, this day, for no other time, Lord, that we might understand the great unity that we have in Christ Jesus here at this church. And Father, I just pray, God, that Lord, what you're going to do this hour, God, that Lord, that your name might be glorified in such a great way this day. Not for what we do, but what you're going to do for us and through us. And these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Church must stick together. Family must stick together. Our nation must stick together in unity of thanksgiving. The unity of thanksgiving, the beauty of unity, also the basics of unity, but the blessings of unity also in these three verses here this morning. How great it is to have unity in the body of Jesus Christ. Now we have in the church, we have a great commission, the greatest commission in the world, and we know the great commission for us to go out. But not only that, we got the greatest Lord of all religions of the world. We got the greatest Lord, Jesus Christ. Not only that, we got the greatest love. If we continue to be a great nation, a great church, and either a great family, we must be continue to be unified. There are too many things that divides us today. We need to be unified in Christ Jesus. I like to take the first one in here and see the beauty, the beautiful, beautiful unity. But there's a beauty of it. It's so beauty to see this. And look at your family there. You know, it says there in verse 1, behold. Behold, it says, now I want you to look. Look at this, would you? As it covers your family, and it covers, remember, I'm going to be talking about all three of these families, our church and our nation, and it says in the verse of Scripture, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Sometimes you see families, how that they have family reunions, and they have their own homecomings, and how some family all through the year, they guys kind of stick together, as I said, and how they come together. When one of them's sick, they all of them sick. When one of them's sick, one visits the other. It just can tell the unity of some families that sticks together. And you see some division of some family. The kids can't get along. The mothers and fathers don't get along. And just a lot of division upon the family. But how great it is to see a family that comes together in the name of the Lord. How great that is. It said, behold, I want you just to look at that, how great it is. So it's talking also here about the church today and said, behold, I want you to look at the church, the world. Look at Pleasant Hill, how that we are in unity. Are we in unity this day? You know, the lost and dying world looks at us at Pleasant Hill and all of our churches. Are we really in unity in the name of Jesus Christ? Are we something that the world will say, behold, I want you to look at that. That's what that word means. Did you know our United States, behold, around the world for generations and generations, the world has been looking at the United States, and they're saying, behold, what a great nation that is. It's not a big nation, but how great that nation is. It's a lot smaller than a lot of other nations. Other nations have more resources than the United States have, but behold how great the United States is. Why it is great is because it's the United. What made it great is the United States of America. Together across this land, state upon state, county upon county, and then family upon family, and churches upon churches, to make this a United States. Behold how look. So they're looking at our family, the world is. They're looking at our church, and it says, you know, look at the world, the beauty of it. Why do we have the beauty of it? Because it is the desire of our Savior. It is the desire of our Savior. This land, I'm telling you what, was founded on God, on the Word of God. Behold, I'm going to tell you the beauty of it, because the Savior desires this. Jesus Christ is praying for the unity of His church and also for the unity of believers today. In John 17, and verse 20 and 21, it says, talking about Jesus praying, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through the word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. One of our greatest privilege we have today for the world to know that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, is what we have here at our local church. It's called the unity in Jesus Christ. That the world may know that God has sent His Son to see what He has done to a group of people. We're different here this hour. I'll be on that in just a moment. We're different, but you see, we all alike in Christ Jesus if you're saved here this day. So you see, it is the beauty of it because it's the desire of our Satan. The unity, the Trinity of Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But yet it is as one God that we worship this day. The church, the greatest advertisement that we have for Jesus Christ is what Christ has done for us in unity with the lost world. When someone comes into this church and they see the unity that we have here, shouldn't we have more unity? They say, well, now they got something that I don't have. And they got something that I don't have. Verse 1, behold how good it says and pleasant it is for our brothers to dwell together in unity. How great it is. That's the greatest advertisement we have for anybody that's lost and for anybody that's having trouble and for anybody that's being divided by Satan for the family. It's the greatest cause we have in our country this day to be unified in the name of Jesus Christ across this land today. I know that a lot of us, we have raised children. Oh, yeah, we end up raising a children's stage. And that children's stage, as you know, as they get to grow up a little while, and after a while they get where they fuss a little bit. You ever had your little children fuss, and they get growing up, and they'll be fussing, and you get them in the car in the back seat, you know, and Daddy, he's touching me, or, you know, Mama, she's over here on my side, make him give me this and make him give me that, and you draw a line in the back seat and don't cross that line. They're fussing. You know, they're little kids, they fuss. Do y'all know how it is? They have youngins, they just fuss a little bit all the time, and then they get a little bit older, they have a little scrap or two, and they'll fight a little bit once in a while. They'll be fussing, and, you know, some of them, they get jealous of one another as you're raising their children. Then after a while, they begin to leave home. They begin to leave home, those same ones that does the fighting and scrapping, the fussing and jealousy. Then after a while, they begin to mature up in age. And then you see it comes time for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Isn't it something when those same little ones that used to scrap, fight, and fuss, and claw, and jealousy. And they begin to hug one another. Glad to see you. Good to see you. How you been getting along? As they mature, they begin to hug one another. And then they begin to bring that unity in the family of Thanksgiving in the Christmas time. Because they matured up. And then they see the joy. And that is for the joy for mothers and fathers and grands. To see those begin to mature up and have that unity together. how it is whenever we begin to mature as a church. And we begin to hug one another and shake hands. Say, I'm glad to see you here this morning. How great it is today. What a blessing of joy it is, the unity of thanksgiving. The beauty of it is because it's the desire of the Satan. But it also delights the saints in the beauty of this. If you'll just follow me a little while, it delights the saints. It's how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. The family, the fellowship, as they expand this, we go into church in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's so good. I sat over there and I begin to see before church starts, so many times before the service, you know, and I see brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's kind of like a bunch of sparrows up in a tree, kind of spatter. They just chatter all over the place in this church. I get a time out of watching them chatter, you know, and they begin to hug one another and shake hands. Did you know what's happening whenever you come in the name of Jesus Christ? We have a homecoming every time that our church meets. Don't miss your homecoming. Don't miss your homecoming on Wednesday night and your Sunday morning and your Sunday night. Because that's what it is. It's homecoming to see how God's people gets together in the unity. All the way we spend time together today, the chattering of the family together. It's such a great time to have homecoming. You see, that's what it is at Pleasant Hill. You know, it's just the unity of thanksgiving because it delights the saints when we have the unity of thanksgiving. And all also, you know, Lord, the desire of Satan for what we have here and also into our family. The United States of America, are we united? Is your family united? I want to ask you the question, is this church united? Is our family united? The beauty of unity, we find you also, but you see, it's the dread of Satan. Satan do not like for us to be united. Because, you see, together is awesome power that we have. That's the reason it's so important to have numbers. That's the reason it's so important that you should not miss a Wednesday night. The same people comes on Sunday morning. Why don't you come on Wednesday night? Do you get a blessing out of Sunday morning? Why don't you want a blessing Wednesday night or Sunday night? Oh, listen, you need to miss your meals at the table before you miss a meal of breaking the bread of life with your family here at this church. It gets together, we have this power called, you know, the devil loves to sow discord among the brethren. He loves to do this. Behold, that verse 1 again, though, it said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You see, you might have just one brick, and one brick won't do a whole lot for you, but you have enough of them together, it'll build a strong and a mighty wall. You may not have it just one shingle. It won't do you much good to have a shingle, but you put them shingles together and you got a roof upon your house. You know, one little old chain, not very strong in itself, it don't do a whole lot for you. But you know what? You can put them together and you can pull up a mighty oak tree. You know, it's together. It gives us great power that we have this day. Oh, listen, it's so great today. Satan fears this, that we together. But I look at the second thing here. Not only, you know, it's the beauty of unity, but I like you see the basic there we have, why we have this unity. Because it's one, our common birth. Our common birth, unity and thanksgiving, that's our common birth and where it comes from our Savior. In John chapter 1 and verse 12 it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Common family is unity. We come together in common family in unity. Not in formity now, but we have unity. Everybody hadn't got to be just alike. Unformity, we ain't got to all be just alike. But see, that comes from without, but unity comes from within. We all come from the womb of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, it's a common family. That's the way we got into the common family. The unity of thanksgiving. We see the beauty of it, but then the basics of it, we find out that we have power, we have strength together in unity. It's the strength that we have. That's the reason we have. We need everybody here for all the time, every time that you can come, because the power that we have and the unity of each other together. Now, I know that maybe Carl and Sandy, they've been out in California. Have anybody else seen these big, great redwoods? I've seen them on television. That's about as far as I've ever got. But you know, the redwoods, some of them are 300 feet tall. 300 feet tall, and they claim they're the oldest living thing on planet Earth is the redwood trees. Oldest living thing. But you see, the root system, you think the root system will like any other root system. It's got a different type of root system than any other root system of a plants, of their trees. A palm tree can grow 300 feet high, and a palm tree 300 feet high, it'll put its roots down 30 feet high. A palm tree will be 30 feet high, it'll put its roots down 1 foot. For every height that it grows, it'll be 1 foot down. A palm tree will. It's got a deep root system to get the water. But a redwood tree, it does not do that. You do not see a redwood tree. You always watch television if you don't ever get a chance to go, and you never see one long redwood tree standing by itself. They won't stand by themselves. They're always in grooves. They're always in clutches. And why this is, because their root system is different. And think about 300 feet high. Well, how deep you reckon the root system will go with a tree 300 feet high? Not very deep, because their system is different. Their roots goes out. And for every foot it grows high, it sends the root system out three times that far. So a tree that's 300 feet high goes out 900 feet. And they're all woven together. One tree did not hold itself up. But all these root systems is massed together in the giant redwood forest. They're all together as one. That's the reason they have stood this many years. They claim they're 2,500 years old. I don't know who was there to date it that back, but that's what they claim they were anyway. 2,500 years. But the reason they stand together, because their root system is interlocked with unity. Let the wind blow, let the time come, but the root system is one thing that holds them together in unity. Also, that's what holds us together today, that holds our family together, the root system that holds the church and that holds this country. And the root system is Jesus Christ and His Word of God. And that's the reason our country has lasted as long as it has today, because it's the root system we have in this country. They want to take our history away from us and rewrite the history and tell us that our forefathers did not come over here with a Bible under their arm, but they did. It was founded on the biblical Judeo-Christian ethics today, the laws that we go by the Word of God. They believed in God. That's the reason that we're here today. Your family, if it hangs together, it's going to hang together because the foundation is in the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, if our church stays together and it holds up the name of Jesus Christ, it's going to be counted on the Word of God. Did you know a lot of churches are being divided over this, what I call the Bible right now? I mean, it's coming across our America. It's coming very, 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 very fast about the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? You know, Billy Graham, when he first started preaching, that's what he began to say. He used to hear preachers say, the Word of God says so. The Word of God says so. But now, you know, they say, now it seems to be. You don't hear it across the pulpit today, what the Word of God says. Well, preacher, do you believe this? It don't make one iota what I believe. It don't make no difference what I believe. I heard a preacher say so. It don't make no difference what you heard a preacher say. I'm telling you, the Word of God says it, you shall not. The Word of God says so. And we wonder why the doctrine we have is so liberal in so many churches today, because they won't go by the Bible. They won't go by the foundation. That's the reason the church is falling apart today. They won't go by the Word of God. It's already plain for everybody to see. Oh, I don't believe that part. I believe it's like this. You might believe it any way you want to, but God's not going to change it. Well, we're going to have a weak church if you don't go by the Word of God. I can tell you that. There's some weak, weak churches today. And they're trying to destroy the Bible this day. And do what they want to. Now, the base of this unity is not only that you see it's a common birth, but it's a common body that we're here together in. Verse 2, in this common body, look, it says in verse 2 now as I read. It is like a precious ointment upon the beard, the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to his skirt and to his garments. Now, Aaron, who's he representing in the Old Testament? High priest, Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament, you know, this anointing is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of this stuff poured on him is anointing of the Holy Spirit being poured on Aaron. The Holy Spirit on Jesus Christ. Aaron represents Jesus Christ. This anointing is the Holy Spirit of God. Every high priest in the Old Testament pointed back to Jesus Christ. Aaron was a high priest. And this high priest, you see what he was? He represented Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, what is he? He is the head of the body, is he not? Jesus Christ is the head of the body. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 says, for as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and having been all made to drink into that one Spirit. We have all been baptized into one body by the Spirit of God this day. We are the body. Jesus Christ is the head. Start with, you see, it's a common birth, and then it's a common body. and we see how great it is. The Bible really never uses, you see, if you go to the Bible, you'll never find the Bible using the word saint in singular. As I told you about these giant redwood trees, you never find that. It's always plural, saints. You find it, you don't find it in the Bible, singular. You don't find a saint. Never in there. The Bible don't use it that way. It's saints always together. The members are what? The bodies. The body of Christ. The reason? Because why? Why are we here together? Why do we have a church? Why do we have a church? You know, some people say, you know, I'm saved, you know, I don't need a church. That's wrong. You're not saved, person. If you can read this and say, I don't need a church, you hadn't met Jesus Christ because he's the body. If you don't want to be part of it, I'm sorry. That's what God says, not what I believe and not what I said. I'm just taking it with the Lord. But you need a church. Well, one of the reasons that we need a church, though, because, see, you cannot function as the body of Christ apart from the church. You cannot function in the body of Christ apart from the church. That is one of the reasons. And not only that, if I chopped off this finger, you know what it'd do? Wherever I chop it off at, if I don't get it sewed back on pretty quick, you know what happened to it? It will die. And I'm going to tell you what, we got some lot of dead fingers in this church. We got a lot of dead fingers because they've been chopped off. Not by us, but by their own self. Only in the church. Only in the church. Only in the church as you come and function and give what God has given you back to the church that you might be able to see the beauty of the Lord in the church. You cannot see the beauty of Jesus Christ out on your own. The only way you can see the beauty of Christ is in Christ's church. That's where you see all the function made together at in the unity in Christ Jesus. The unity of thanksgiving. There's the beauty of unity and the base of unity. The third thing we find that is the common blessings of the day. The common blessing, unity is like it says there in verse 2, this precious ointment. Now this is the precious ointment. The special ointment is it was gave in the Old Testament. It was gave in Exodus chapter 30, verses 22 and 23. Because you want to read that, read that whole chapter. God gave Aaron and Moses a special recipe to make this type of ointment to anoint the high priest. A special ointment that told them what type of ointment to use, how many of them to mix together, how much the weight of it is. He gave them the direction of the whole thing, a recipe, how to make this precious ointment. This precious ointment was very, very special, this recipe. And it was never to be imitated. Never was you to put this back together again. This was a special ointment for a special time. It was never to be imitated again. This what was anointed on the head of Aaron as it run down through his beard, on his apron, his clothes, and on down to his feet. It was a genuine ointment, never to be imitated again. This speaks of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you know what, never to be imitated again on the day of Pentecost, one time, that the Holy Spirit was poured out on church, one time. A special anointing of the church never will be again. There will never be another Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes. There will never be another Pentecost. This was anointing of one time for one reason, and it lasts out through all the years. But not only that, it was yet a very generous ointment. It was a very generous ointment. It had on Aaron's head, that means the head of the church. He represents Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the glory of his position, his beard, Jesus Christ, his humanity of Jesus Christ. He was a God-man and a man of God, a holy man. But then Aaron's garments, that was for his ministry. He's the head all the way down to his feet, his mind, his motion, also his will, that he was anointed. The Bible gives not just the Holy Spirit in measure, but it gives all that we need at one time. And he does this by not holding back. It was genuine. This ointment was genuine. It was very generous and it was very gracious as it was poured out on Aaron at that time. This thanksgiving, the day of Pentecost, it was said it was poured out, graciously poured out. The sweet smell that had there at Aaron, can you smell the sweetness of the Holy Spirit upon this church? I mean, there's a sweetness about it. The unity of thanksgiving. And then the blessings of this unity. The blessings of this unity in verse 3. It says, as the dew of Hermon And as they do that, descended upon the Mount of Zion. There the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Now when you think about this mountain, and we think about the blessings this of unity, that this unity is like a dew. And I got to thinking about a dew. Where did a dew come from? How does it come? One thing, it comes kind of sweetly. You get up of a morning, the sweet morning breeze a blowing, and you look outside and you see the dew all over the grass. And it began to sparkle. It's kind of like diamonds as you see the dew on the grass of morning. All of us saw that. It's just, it comes so sweetly. You know, it comes secretly because you see they're kind of a mystery to dew. It's not like the rain. You know, you can get a shower of rain under a big oak tree and it'd be plumb dry under an oak tree, but you know it'll be wet in the morning under that oak tree with dew. There's kind of a mystery of this dew. Does it come up or does it come down? The mystery of this dew. Well, it's such a mystery, we just don't know. But where is it at? Well, they tell us the dew is in the air. It's in the air, and it gets distilled, and it becomes water. When the conditions are just right, you see that dew will float even under that tree on that great shade tree. You got a barn door open, you know what? The moisture and the dew will float right on in, and they cover every area. It's not like a rain falling. Dew is something very, very special. It'll fit everywhere. It's such a mystery to this. When the conditions are just right, you know, if the wind's blowing too much, you won't have any dew. You know, if it's too hot, you might not have those dew. If it's too cold, you might not have no dew. When the conditions are just right, you'll have a dew. And this dew, it says here, it says it's like the dew on this mountain. When this dew falls upon a church, when the conditions are just right, when the conditions are just right, it's going to come in every area. When we meet the conditions that says for us to meet, he says it's going to come. It's going to come silently. Don't come with no big bang. Don't come with lightning and thundering. It just distills around us and fills upon our church. You know, sometimes it just distills. Maybe we're having a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. It distills around us this morning. We have in our service, or maybe on your Sunday school. But you see, it comes surely. When the conditions are just right, you know what? You really can't stop it, can you? When these conditions are just right. United like that, it brings us together. In Israel, I was reading about dry farming in Israel, and I was reading something about the dew. You see, there's places in Israel where they don't have any rain just about all year round, but they have farming. And what they call that dry farming, they don't have no irrigation. There are some type of plants and vegetables that just about totally depend on nothing but just the dew to raise that crop. That's the reason I call it dry farming. But that dew, when that dew comes, when it's in the air, it brings the moisture to those plants and they produce. And that's all they have. But what does it do? Well, it says here it brings fruitfulness. You see, if we want to see souls saved, if you're concerned about anybody that's lost and you want to see people saved, and you got some family members or you know some families that Satan has divided, if we want to see them back together again, you know what it takes? It's going to take the unity of our church. It's going to take the unity of your family to see souls saved and have the unity of thanksgiving. Because, see, there's a beauty of unity, the basics of unity, but you see the blessings come from this. Where does it go? Well, I can tell you where it goes. When the sun begins to rise, it kind of disappears. The dew goes home. You know, in the Word of God, it says, the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall come with healing in his wings. And what does that mean? That means I'm going home. You see, when the goodness is spread all over us, when the unity is spread all over us one of these days, you see, the dew is going to rise. And we're going to go home. We're going to be called up to meet the Lord in the air just like dew. And we're going home. It says again, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. In Ephesians 4:3, it says, endowing to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bounds of peace. Buddy, whenever we say, I do to the Lord, we should be able to keep this spirit of unity each day. Because you see, you are the bride of Christ. When you said, Jesus Christ, would you save me? I'm just a lost sinner and I need to be saved. In Jesus Christ, I'll save you. I'll come in the heart and I'll be your Lord and your Savior. At that time, Jesus Christ says, I do, and you said, I do, and you become the bride of Christ. And there should be a unity in that family fellowship. There should be a unity in our church as never anybody has ever seen before. We ought to have this unity of thanksgiving. When the dew comes, the condition are just right. What you want to see? Do you want to see church growth? Do you want to see souls saved? Do you want to see the unity of this fellowship together? You know, are you saved this hour? Are you really saved? You know, it's just a common birth has become a song of invitation. Are you saved as a common birth? You'll be put into the common family, and I tell you, you'll have these common blessings through Jesus Christ. Are you saved today? You know without a shadow of a doubt that you have been saved. But not only that, you see, you might want to come, you might want to rededicate your life. They may be here at this altar today. You might want to come and say, thank you, Lord, for the blessings on me and my family. And you might want to come back. You might want to dedicate your life to the Lord all over again. You might want to come and move your membership to this church. When that dew is just right, when the condition is just right, the dew will begin to fall. And you'll see the fellowship begin to grow. I think if anything we ever needed, we needed the Thanksgiving of fellowship here at this church. And the Thanksgiving of fellowship on your heart for the Thanksgiving of fellowship in your family. But not only that, I want you to think about our poor nation. If we don't get back together as a united, we will cease to be as a nation. We got to get back to be the united part. And we got to be a united church. And you need to be a united family in Jesus Christ as we stand and sing.